Welcome to the All Wheels Rolling podcast. My name is Mark Hamilton and I'll be your host. We are powered by Bourgeois Midland Nissan. They are part of the Bourgeois Auto Group. You can see their new and used inventory online at bourgeoisnissan.com. The Crank and Sprocket at crankandsprocket.ca for your bicycle needs in Orillia. Excite Physiotherapy at excitephysio.com. Our friends with the rail trail around Simcoe County, cyclesimcoe.ca. SCMBC.ca, which is the Simcoe County Mountain Bike Club, who have heaps of single track all over Simcoe County. BarryCyclingClub.com for your road cycling needs. First up, we have Paige Foxcroft. A bit about Paige. Her cycling experience is quite extensive, going all the way back to her very young years. She's from the Collingwood area. And moved there when she was in kindergarten, and has raced through several teams, but basically got her start at Wednesday nights at Hardwood, as many of the listeners do and know of people who have, after the Wednesday night Hardwood series, then moving on to O Cups after she stopped playing soccer, and a year after that joined the Devo team for Hardwood, which was second year mini-me. Paige has raced for the Trek Store in Barrie, for her second year cadet, and then Angry Johnny's for the remainder of the racing years. I think many of you know who Angry Johnny's is. And so in 2014, Paige qualified and raced at the Worlds, which was in Norway, as a first year junior. At that race, she got the first of what turned into be a few concussions, which started some challenging years for Paige with bike racing, which we'll talk about. And sort of how it tipped the scale for Paige to think about her future in racing. Paige did hang on to bike racing for a long time because of her identity was tied up in being an athlete. And if it wasn't that, she didn't know who she was. She did her yoga teacher training in October of 2019 in Panama, which is really where and when she decided to let go of the need to define herself as an athlete. Last summer, Paige only rode a few times throughout the year, and when Andrew Watson contacted her this past spring to coach this summer, she was really excited because coaching is what brought her back to her love of skiing after she had stopped downhill racing. She also met some local friends in Collingwood that ride with that she rides with now, and these days she is enjoying riding for fun when she can. But she's also started thinking about doing some racing again, which is great. The cycling community, teams, coaches have been a big part of why she loves racing and why she's back now doing some coaching. The difference between the mountain biking community and the downhill skiing community is why she kept bike racing and stopped ski racing. Andrew, Emma, Johnny, Sean Kelly, when he was provincial team coach, along with her family, all gave her amazing support when she was struggling, and she's really grateful to have had them all. And we also have Karis Reed. Karis is currently in school for kinesiology en route to becoming a chiropractor slash physiotherapist to be determined. She's been racing for 12 plus years and has dabbled in every genre of cycling with her heart in cross country mountain biking. She's also learning to live with an autoimmune disease and does her part to educate others on the matter. If she's not on the bike, you can find her instructing young riders on the lake somewhere or stopping to meet every dog she passes by. And Karis is currently in our bike industry. She is working down at the Trek Store in Barrie, helping out at the Horseshoe Bike Park. Awesome ladies to talk to. Really hope you enjoy this one, folks. Okay, welcome to the show. I've got Paige Foxcroft and Karis Reed. Paige, how are you?
I'm good.
Karis?
Doing well.
Good. We just finished up. You guys were just coaching right now.
Yeah.
It's a bit of a different avenue from racing, which we kind of talked about on the podcast a fair bit. And first time coaching for you, Paige?
I've helped out with like a couple like one day kind of things, but this is the first time coaching consistently.
Right. And yeah. What kind of age group are we talking?
Now I have 8 to 12 year olds.
Okay.
In the past, it's just like whatever group they gave me. So I've done like 4 and 5 year olds, like up to like 15.
Nice. And Karis?
Pre-COVID, I used to teach swimming lessons and lifeguard as well.
Yep.
So I was used to kind of working with kids, but this is my first time coaching on a bike.
Nice. And what age group? Someone?
In swimming?
No, for this, for cycling.
Yeah, around 5 to 9, I believe.
Nice.
So a little bit bigger.
Nice. And for those who have listened before, I've dropped kids in a creek. Have you guys at least done better than that?
Yes.
Okay,
like
good.
No one's gone into a creek yet.
Excellent. You were both doing way better than I did, and I lost my job with that, so that's okay. training. Paige, you're maybe coming off of a hiatus of racing?
I don't know. I definitely won't race this year.
Not this year?
But we'll see what happens next year.
Yeah? You're intrigued again?
I'm intrigued again.
Okay. So you did train, so the common theme between you both, both have raced for Trek, both have raced for Angry Johnny's. Did you both get started with Angry Johnny's or?
No.
No.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. that's okay. So we're coming back to racing. Karis, you're still racing.
Yes.
Okay. So game plan. So you'll be racing the 25th at Hardwood?
Yep.
Okay. Are you excited?
I am.
Have you been pre-riding?
No, I'm pre-riding Thursday and Friday.
Okay.
This week. Yeah.
So, and Paige, when you were racing as pre-riding, was that a thing for you?
Pre-riding was a thing, yes.
Yeah, definitely. Okay. I enjoy that too, because I'm not, I don't know, my decision making at speed is not great sometimes. So,
that's fair.
Yeah. And this is your home track, so.
Yeah.
A little bit more.
It's just more calming as like, I guess your first race back. I did the 8 hour a week ago or 2 weeks ago, whenever it was.
Oh yeah, you ripped it. You did 40.
40K in just under 2 hours. We
That's
went with the
it.
Trek store, so we had like Trek Old Guys, Trek Canada, Trek Legends was like Dave Fabro and Barry Neer. That was kind of funny.
Nice.
But I raced with Trek Canada, so I was with Sarah and John Barnes and Sarah Fab.
Yep.
So yeah, that was it was
just good. The three of you.
Yeah. So
okay.
We had to pull some pretty fast times.
Nice. That's a pretty high bar to set with those two.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was
and what age category are you in?
First year U23.
U23? Okay. Paige, you have gotten away from racing for a bit. What happened there?
Well, I feel like it's kind of a couple years that took me to like really get out of it, but I got a couple concussions and then I was like, when I came back, like training was really hard. It was hard to like motivate me. And then eventually, like when I like really pulled the plug, I was in my last year of university. And my friend asked me if I wanted to go to Thailand for a month, like after we finished our exams before graduation. And I wanted to do that more than I wanted to train and ride my bike all the time. So I went to Thailand for a month and didn't race that year. Well, actually I did race a little bit that summer, but not elite. I went down to Junior X.
Right.
Or not Junior X. I wasn't junior anymore, but that a similar kind
of senior.
Senior X.
Yeah.
It's been a while.
Yeah. And do you kind of, so sometimes when people stop racing, there's a bit of a void in their life, and then you got to figure out something to fill your time with. But as some kids go when they become adults, your time does get filled automatically with other stuff like university. There's boys and girls in the world, and cars and jobs, and so that fills your time. But you're feeling that you might. There's some part of you that wants to go back racing?
Yeah. I also finished university and had no idea what I wanted to do, so I went home. I'm still at home. It's a great place to be.
Yes.
and so I had a lot of time, and like I'm still working seasonal jobs, so like between Christmas and March break, I'm coaching downhill skiing like all the time, and I'm super busy. And then when my summer job picks up, so for like July and August, I'm super busy. But the rest of the time, I have a lot of time, especially with COVID and those seasons getting shorter and shorter. But I do, like, this summer I've been riding a lot more than I was last summer, and now I'm like, oh, I really kind of want to get back into this and do a little bit of racing, but it'll never be like as serious as I was before. I just want to do it for fun and keep it there.
Yeah. And what about you, Karis?
With racing?
Because we've had a bit of a break with COVID and whatnot.
Yeah, so I guess last year through COVID, I did a lot more like adventure type riding, just longer rides, riding for fun, kind of riding for your why, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I was a bit of an anomaly with the whole thing because not racing didn't affect me like really bad, I was just kind of like, okay, you know what, we're gonna ride for fun and that's what we're gonna do. But I think if I was the only one that wasn't in that situation, like I was the only one that couldn't race, then it would have drastically affected me, because then you get FOMO.
Yeah.
But if everyone's in the same boat, it kind of made it easier, I guess.
Yeah.
But yeah.
And so for both of you then, like, do you miss that community? Because it's not just like, there's the training and the regiment that goes with that, and then there's the act of actually doing the race, but there's also, racing has that community, like, you get to see your buds and all that. Did you miss
yeah.
that?
Yes, 100%. Just, again, with pre-riding or going to Quebec for a week with your friends and riding in places neither of you have ridden before, that was really hard to not have or to not look forward to. But it kind of made you branch off and find other things to do.
Mm-hmm.
So. I for sure, like, when I stopped racing, like, well, as soon as, like, I stopped, like, started missing stuff because of my injuries, like, I started, like, feeling kind of detached from the community. And actually stopping racing now, like, I've met lots of people who don't race bikes. Because when I was racing, I felt like I had, like, specific things I always had to do. And so, like, I couldn't just go ride with random people. And now I can ride with so many more people. And I've made, like, friends that, like, just ride for fun. And that's been really awesome. So it's been nice to, like, kind of, like, switch my community a little bit. Because I don't have the same thing, like, around races, which I miss. But I have, like, a more of a crew that's just like, hey, like, do you want to go out for a ride today? And it's not like, oh, well, I don't know, because I have to do these intervals or whatever. It's just like, we can just go ride and do whatever, and that's been awesome.
And have you found, because I think some people associate that only quick people race, but have you found that there are quick people who don't race?
Yes. Yeah.
Kara, same thing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
Yeah.
Group rides. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, but it's cool that you can have that fuller community. Fuller is the right word, but like, it's not just the race community. Once you kind of broaden that spectrum, you've got a larger group to draw from to train with or just go ride with. And so, Karis, you had talked about, I think we had talked about previously, about the training and what that can do to you, like if you sort of burn matches forever and then you burn out.
Mm-hmm.
So do you want to talk about that a little bit, about like how that's been for you?
Yeah sure. So I think there was something going on in the background with me. Well, I know that there was, because that was my whole autoimmune disease situation. So I was basically training and working and going to school like a normal person, but I had probably a quarter of the energy and the nutrition of what a normal human should have, just because my body was attacking itself and just depleting a lot over time. So there was like a good 2 to 3 year time span where I was just almost doing more, I was doing like hurting my body more than I was doing good to it through training and just through everyday life. Just learning about that and then learning how to tweak my training around that and the recovery process definitely was a lot. And then just this last year through COVID would have been like my first kind of year back to racing with, I guess, a normal hormone levels, normal blood marking levels, all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So that would have been a good test, but I feel like mentally I was so drained from all of that and the testing and just driving to the hospital from school and work and all this kind of stuff, that I was so drained. If I had raced that season, I probably would have stopped racing. So I'm honestly kind of happy that COVID happened when it did, because it allowed me to take a step back and just ride for fun and train and almost catch up to the rest of everyone. So this year is probably going to be like how I actually stack up against my competitors. So
right.
I'm excited for that.
That's cool. It's I think more and more it's funny to say that it's still evolving, but I think people concussions, Paige, maybe for you, some unknown issue that you're just trying to figure out, mental health, all those things combined, it seems like athletes are somewhat gun shy to I don't know if reach out for help's the right word, but like discuss it openly, mm-hmm. especially with fellow competitors, because I think there's still this, sometimes there's people hide their training from people that they compete against, and so they don't want to tell their coach, or they don't want to, would you sort of agree with that?
Oh, like, yeah, 100%. Yeah.
And why do you, like, why do you think that is? Like, or do you think it's getting better, or?
In a sense, I think it is getting better. What do you think?
I think so too, but I think, like, it's really important to have a coach that you feel comfortable telling that stuff to. Like, if you're working with someone right now and you're, like, unsure if they'll, like, react well to it, then maybe either, like, that's something you should talk to them, like, about, or consider switching to a coach that you feel comfortable telling them those things about, because it's really important that they know, because then they can tailor your training, like, whether that's, like, on your rougher days, you can have easier days, or, like, it's just something that they can make it easier for you, and then, but if they don't know, and then you're, like, not doing well in your workouts, and you don't tell them anything, then it can be frustrating on both sides. So just making sure, like, you're working with somebody that, like, you feel comfortable telling that stuff will help you in your training and help your coach while they're doing their programming and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm. And as far as the social aspect, I think, like, Instagram, Strava, that has a huge impact on it as well. Because if you're posting your rides, then sometimes you can get analyzed, or people will, like, comment on it or anything like that. Maybe you didn't want that. Or Instagram, you're constantly seeing what other people are doing and what other people are putting out. And sometimes there's a whole lot of other stuff going on that they're not sharing, but they're just showing their highlight reel.
Mm-hmm.
So that can kind of make it tough to understand as well.
I think that's a, I would guess that that's not being in the category of, like, actively competing or anything, but, like, I think that's tough when you are watching, say, people that you somewhat idolize or are fond of, like a lot of the pros, mm-hmm. and, you know, they've got a professional photographer and they've got heaps of stock footage of them smiling on every ride, and, you know, oh, is it for a training ride today? Well, yeah, maybe that's the photo from there, or maybe that was from Mallorca and that was just on a good day and not the rainy crappy day that you were out. And, you know, it's, I think that's kind of that false perception, like you're saying,
mm-hmm.
that is an impossible yardstick for people to match up to.
Right.
And now, do you feel, because you're competing now, and obviously I'm assuming and somewhat chasing sponsorship dollars, which are scarce and hard to find, like, do you feel pressure to do the social media thing?
Yeah, it's kind of it's a balancing act between wanting to put posts out on social media and branch out and work with companies, but then, like, I'm also just not a super like, social media person. Like, I post, but then I get off of it. I don't stay and scroll for days. I'll make my post and then go and do something else, because I just think it's a, in some ways it is a huge waste of time, but in other ways you can learn and educate yourself. But yeah, it is a hard ball to kind of toss around.
Mm-hmm.
Maintain.
And you're maybe a year or two removed from this, so did you find that social media pressure to post stuff when you're racing?
Yes and no. Like, from a sponsorship point of view, I found it more important just to, like, be at races and talk to people, so, like, they know your face. But then, like, the more and more serious, like, that's expected of you to be posting on social. But I feel like the in-person part of it is often, like, discounted. Like, you can't just post, like, happy posts on Instagram and be, like, a terrible person. Like, you still need to be showing up and, like, talking to fans. Like, I never was talking to my fans, but, like, that's, like, a big thing. Like, if I think about some of my favorite riders, like, Catherine Pendrell is always, like, talking to people, and, like, that's, like, a huge part. And if you ask anyone about Catherine who's met her, they're like, she's an amazing person. And I think that is a bigger part of it than the social media.
Mm-hmm.
And I would bet if companies actually looked at what they're getting for social media posts versus, like, I've gone to Hardwood when they've done nationals, and I think value-wise of getting riders on bikes, the pros staying around and giving autographs to kids and stuff, kids aren't, like, little kids aren't on Instagram, but they are there getting that autograph, and they've watched this pro, and they're so excited that they get to meet them. And, like, you know, I went to the one at St. Anne, and, like, seeing, like, the European pros, and, like, even I'm starstruck with that. Like, it was so cool to see them, and I could care less about the Instagram, because just seeing them actually perform was awesome, and then just seeing them interact with the fans after was way better.
Yeah.
By far.
I remember I was like 4 or 5 years old at one point, and I think my dad and I did an O Cup or an 8 hour at Hardwood, and Peter Glassford was the one doing the registration. I'm never gonna forget this, I swear. And they were giving out socks instead of doing t-shirts
right.
for registration. And so I was like, "Hi, Peter." And he was like, "Oh, hi," because he knew my dad. And he gave me these OCA socks. I still have them. They don't fit. They're like a kid's size, small, whatever. But I still have them just because I remember my dad would always talk about him. And, oh, he's a pro. He's done this race. And I was like, whoa, that's so cool. And I got Molly's books when I was little, too. And then I look back and I'm like, wow, I've done training camps with them. I know them personally. Like, I'll see them at races and we'll have a conversation. But I remember being that five-year-old kid that looked up to them. And even though, like, I think Peter's done races in Europe. I'm not sure. But,
I would think so, yeah.
Yeah, like, that's still something that can impact you and you'll remember the rest of your life.
Yeah. And have you both seen that transition as you guys have gone through racing? Like, when did you sort of become aware of that tipping point of you were the five-year-old and then looking up and now you're, like, having the young riders look up to you?
Do you want to go?
No.
No?
You can go first.
probably Cadet X. Okay. That was definitely, like, the tipping
what
point.
What age is that? Because I don't know.
15,
16?
Yeah,
15, 16.
Okay.
That's also when you kind of get into high school. You start to meet more people. You mature a little bit. Yeah, you also start to go out to more, like, national races. So that's when I started to go out to Quebec. Yeah, so that was kind of my tipping point for that.
I don't know if I had a tipping point. Like, I've always just been, like, looking up to people. Like, I remember going, like, when I was in cadet, out to, like, I was in my first year, like, doing Team Ontario projects. And I, like, looked at, like, Peter DeSera was on that trip and, like, a couple people that aren't so much racing anymore. But, like, they were the coolest. And now still, I'm, like, still looking up to people. So I don't know if I've really switched.
Well, I have to tell you, I saw the young people you're with tonight. They are looking up to you. That's
well,
there's
that's
no
good.
Question about that. Yeah. How, because you are both local and you just mentioned Peter and you've mentioned Catherine, and Olympics are next week, I think. Are you guys pretty stoked that you've met people who are going to the Olympics?
Yeah. 100%. Oh my gosh.
Like, how cool is that?
It's so insane.
Cool. I've been, like, looking at their, like, Olympic pictures on Instagram. Like, I guess it's important when none of the fans can be there to have a social media presence. And I'm like, oh, this is so cool. Yeah. And when a couple weeks ago, Jen Jackson was here riding with the kids. She came with our group. And so we were talking about her team, like, some of the kids. And they were like, once I saw Peter DeSera, like, they were, like, so funny. Like, they love those guys. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
Even Haley too, like she grew up in Uxbridge and I grew up in Keswick, so she's more local to me than I guess some of the trails up north here. So just riding in Durham Forest and Glen Major, those trails, knowing that an Olympian came from that's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's so cool. I mean, whether it's on your horizon that you're on that same trajectory or not, it's just cool to cross paths with them. Like, you know, it's nothing, and I know Peter would never remember this, but I did a road ride with him and Andrew one time. I chatted with him for, like, 3 minutes, and, like, you know, as Brendan Matheson would say, like, Brendan coached Peter when he was, like, I don't know, 5, and Brendan still holds on to it. I've coached an Olympian now. You know, that's his claim
to
fame.
That's an accomplishment.
And, yeah, I mean, why not? Like, it's so cool that you can relate to that in some way, and it was cool. You said Mrs. DeSera, Peter's mom was out here.
Yeah, Pamela.
Yeah, that was cool just to see her, and everyone gave her a little applause. I thought that was quite nice. And
she was so happy, too. She was beaming that whole day. It was really cool to see her.
Yeah, and I don't know, I'm sure you've both been at Hardwood. You know, I think that's important for the pros, or even people just, you know, on the cusp of being pro, to be with the kids. Like, I know Quentin and both Quentin and Peter have been at Hardwood for the camps, and I've seen... Ellen Noble, she was at Hardwood for a mountain bike race a couple of years ago, and, like, she was hanging out with the kids and that sort of thing. Like, it just, I think it's really important to capture that audience with, you know, we now have with all the cycling that's going on.
Mm-hmm.
I guess you probably know more than anyone, now working at Trek in Barrie.
Yeah.
How's the bike business?
Bike business is booming, but it's also slim to none at the same point. So everyone that's like bought bikes has pre-ordered them well into like 2022, 2023.
Right.
Or they ordered them last year. So it's kind of sad to have to turn people away, more so adults. But the only thing we have in stock right now is kids' bikes. So on the odd day when you can help a kid get onto a bike, that really makes me happy. Just seeing them leave and they know that they have a sweet ride and they're gonna get out onto some trails.
Yeah. Funny enough, I was down there one day and I saw you doing that exact thing. That was cool. I saw it firsthand.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Paige, so what's on the horizon for you then? You said you're done school now?
I'm thinking about going back to school, but I'm also, so I graduated in 2019 from McMaster. And then this year I decided I want to go to teacher's college, but I didn't take any English during my undergrad, which I need to go to school in BC, which is what I was thinking about doing. And now I'm not sure. But anyway, I'm 2 weeks away from finishing my 8th English class of the year.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm very excited to be done.
How's your brain?
I'm ready for a break.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That's fair. A lot of essays, I'm sure.
It is.
Holy.
So BC, are you thinking bigger bike then?
Bigger bike, maybe some powder skis for the winter.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Is there a location you have a landing spot you want to go to?
Not yet. It depends when I finish, where I can get a job, where I'm at in a couple years. We'll see.
Okay.
Yeah.
And Karis, what about you?
I'm
in university now?
Yeah. I'm going into my second year of kinesiology at Wilfrid Laurier in Waterloo.
Okay.
As far as my undergrad goes, I'm hoping to finish that in the next couple years. And then after that, definitely going either chiropractic or physio. I was set ahead on chiropractic, but I'm kind of like, but physio is a little shorter. Like I just keep going back and forth. So yeah, we're going in that trajectory. Just not sure which path yet.
I know some people, so if you want to pick their brains,
okay.
Happy to.
I would love to
tee you up with both sides of the coin there, if you want.
Awesome. I would really appreciate
that. Yeah.
I studied kin too.
Okay.
So I have a bunch of friends finishing their physio this year and a couple that are working through their chiropractor stuff. So if you want to talk to someone that's at school, let me know.
Okay. Awesome.
Just out of curiosity, maybe Paige, I don't think this might have been in your wheelhouse, but doing stuff in COVID times, did you try any of the crazy challenges that were out there, like an Everest thing or?
When I first saw the Everesting thing, I think it was like when people were doing it on a trainer. So I was really discouraged from that because I do not like sitting inside on a bike, but I also do not like being cold on a bike.
Right.
So I was, I would just take the route of like cross-country skiing or snowshoeing or something. But I never tried Everesting. I don't think I tried any of the crazy things.
No.
I did, is it Ryan Leach? He's the skills guy.
Yeah.
I tried some of his like learn to wheelie in 30 days kind of thing, and
right.
I really hurt my tailbones. that didn't get too far. But I focus more on like adventure riding, doing some things I hadn't tried before. And I just kind of went more that route and stuff.
What was the highlight for
last year?
Yeah.
I think I hit almost every forest in Ontario. Maybe not like so much down south, but like in this area. So I've never been to Three Stages or Porcupine Ridge, but I got the chance to go and do that this year.
Nice.
And also downhilling. Like I found a new love for downhilling. So that was really fun.
I've seen this firsthand because I was at the Horseshoe Triple Showdown last year. You were killing it.
Thank you.
Yeah, that was great.
Yeah.
So that's maybe a new avenue as well?
Yeah, I got a squishy bike this year.
Uh-huh.
I got a Fuel EX and it's 130 mil in the back, 150 in the front, so it's pretty beefy. I've taken that out to Quebec. I'm hoping to go out again, and I'd like to take it out to BC if I can. Probably just for more cross country out there. I don't know if that'll handle the downhills, but yeah.
So people yell at me if I don't ask because some people love Technoc. What tires are you running with it? Do you know?
Oh gosh, XR3.
Okay.
I think that's the big one.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Paige, what are you rolling with?
I don't know.
No, like, what bike do you have? You got
just
you're still on
my
an XC?
Bike. XC? Yeah, I still have a Norco Revolver.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That seems to be a show favorite. I think everyone on the show has Norco XC bike, so that's good. Karis, you brought up a good point. We talked previous to the show about non-negotiables in your life.
Yeah.
So what's a, walk us through that. What is that for you?
I always like asking people that question as well. Just it helps you learn what people prioritize in their life and what they value. So, like, what do you want to ask? What my non-negotiables are?
Well, what's it mean to you?
Oh, just like something you are not willing to give up, something that you value truly to yourself, and you need to do that for your own sake and for your sanity, and just because you respect yourself enough.
It's your line in the sand.
Yeah, exactly.
So, what is your non-negotiable?
Bed before midnight.
Okay.
At least 8 hours of sleep.
Oh.
Yeah, at least. If I don't get 8 hours, I'm not gonna function good in my workout the next day, or I'm not gonna be able to function, period.
As a human?
Yes, no one will want to be around me, so.
Fair.
Water with coffee, always.
Water with coffee?
Have a glass of water beside my cup of coffee. Yeah.
Gotcha.
Honestly, sleep is just the main thing for me. Yeah. Number one is sleep, yeah.
Well, I think that's huge for athletes, is recovery, and I think it's probably one of the most understated or undervalued things is one of them anyways.
I saw a thing the other day, and it was like you could add all of this other stuff into your life, or you could just put your phone down 30 minutes for 30 minutes before bed, instead of, you know, adding this foam rolling, adding this like electrolyte cream, adding this whatever supplement. Just, I don't know, stick to the basics. It's not it's not that crazy.
100%. Paige, do you have a non-negotiable?
Just like a little bit of time every day that's just for me and quiet. So usually it's like in the morning. I don't drink coffee usually, so that's me with my tea. But otherwise I need that little bit of quiet time.
Me time.
And does that involve like a journaling sort of thing, or?
Sometimes I do journal, but I often journal like before bed.
And just for people who don't know, journaling is a thing, and it's I would say it's risen in popularity, correct me if I'm wrong, but so just personal thoughts for the day, just stuff you want to do tomorrow, that sort of thing?
Sometimes it's just that, but I often like use a prompt. So I have like a bunch of prompts like from my yoga teacher training, and then I have like these fancy card decks, and I'll like pull one out and like journal to that. So
Kara, same thing?
Or
do something different?
I took a bit of a different route with the whole thing. I am okay with words, but I also like to create and like draw and just kind of see what I can make. And especially with school and everything, I find I don't have a lot of time to sit down and like draw for 2 hours at a time. I would rather be sleeping or doing schoolwork. So instead of like writing out a lot of words, I'll use a couple words here and there, but I'll draw a picture with it, or I'll just draw instead. So that's kind of been like my me time activity, I guess.
Next time, if you're with other people and you're looking for something sort of fun that's creative to do, I highly recommend a bottle of wine. Bob Ross is on Netflix. You get a couple canvases and just like hit pause as needed, because he goes super friggin' fast. But try and follow along while consuming the wine.
Oh my goodness.
Highly recommend it. Highly recommend. That is like an hour or two worth of entertainment.
Oh my
at
gosh.
Least. And then you got some art to hang up after.
I'm sure I'll want to hang mine up. Maybe I'll give it to my grandma.
Oh, that's awesome.
How did you get into cycling?
So my family moved to just outside of Collingwood when I was in kindergarten. And then my mom met a bunch of other moms at my elementary school that rode. And so she started like going out, and she often tells the story of her like coming home after her first night at three stage with whatever bike she had before, and told my dad, I need a new bike. And so like, she went out and got like an actual mountain bike. And so then I started riding with her, and then I started doing some of the Wednesday night races over at Hardwood. And then I joined the Devo team there and met a lot of girls that still ride, and just went from there.
And what about you?
My dad. I feel like that's kind of a common thing with a lot of kids, but my dad used to race enduro dirt bikes. So when he injured himself too much in that, he switched to just mountain bikes, so drop the motor. He started doing like Canada Cups and O Cups, and 8 hours he did all of it. And then I grew up racing and riding bikes because that's all I knew. And there's actually my favorite picture is he was at Grandmaster Worlds in Mont Saint-Anne in like 2002, I guess it was. And I'm a newborn baby, like, in his arms at the finish line, so that was kind of cool.
Nice.
And then we recreated that photo not long ago, like, nice. Me trying to go in his arms. But we were both in, like, our race kits at the time, so that was pretty special.
Cool.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Now, how many bikes do either of you have?
I have three.
Three? Go through. What do you got?
I have a Norco Tactic, just, like, they don't make those anymore. My road bike, and then I have my cyclocross bike, Threshold.
Yes.
Like, and my revolver.
Okay. I have three as well. Four, if you count one with a motor. I have a dirt bike.
Okay.
Don't really ride it much anymore. I have my Trek Fuelie X, and at the moment I have a Rocky Mountain Vertex and a DaVinci Hatchet as my road gravel bike. But on order, I have a Trek Super Cal and a Trek Domane. So, making the switch fully over to Trek.
Yeah, I'm a fan of that.
Yeah,
I just
I'm really excited.
I just last night bought a used Trek Pure. Do you know what that is?
I do not.
It's like a beach cruiser.
Oh, ooh, okay.
Yeah, yeah. It was super cheap.
Just
the
a
guy
fun bike.
Just, I don't know, wanted to get rid of it. It was not even COVID pricing. It was like $200. So I was like,
oh wow.
Yeah, okay, I got that.
Done.
Just
Done deal.
Just to add to the library. Now, some people, I don't think, from the sounds of it, you are those people. Some people, when they get bikes, they can't let go of them.
No.
Is there a favorite in the mix that you just, is like a, you're going to hang on to? Or you just keep them going?
What do you think? Well, like, my mountain bike's my favorite, but, like, I'll upgrade at any time
yeah,
when I have the money,
it.
You know?
There's always new technology.
Yeah.
As far as sentimental's sake, my dad and my boyfriend built up my Fuelie X last year, and there was like a whole story that kind of went behind it. I'll spare the details, but yeah,
we got time if you want.
Okay,
go for it.
We could, but yeah, so I'd probably keep the frame, but knowing what I want to go into as far as like my money situation goes, I'm probably gonna have to sell it at some point.
Sure.
Which will kind of suck, but yeah, that'll probably be like my sentimental bike.
Uh-huh.
Yeah,
that's fair. And is your dad hang on to them as well?
He hangs on to his cracked frames.
Okay.
Actually, we just moved, so we just found this old frame. It's a Marin old 26-inch wheel. You could probably cut the frame with a pair of like cutters.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
Yeah, it's lime green and purple. So
awesome.
I thought that was kind of funny. I think that's from like the 80s or the 90s. So he does hold on to some, but as far as his regular bikes, he upgrades every few years.
I feel like he should roll that out for the, was it Hardwood, their last night of the season, isn't it? They have like bring out your funky bike sort
yeah,
of thing.
He
yeah.
definitely should.
Yeah. Yeah. And your mom, does she trade through the bikes or?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We have limited bike space in the garage. My dad currently is like fixing up a car.
Okay.
So he's got like a welding tent set up in the garage, and it's taking up a lot of space. Yeah.
Come on, Dad. There's bike space. You can take it up here.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good. So, Karis, you found out you have celiac. So how did that sort of come about? We kind of talked about that before, about like being able to talk to other people, and that sometimes is a little bit of an uncomfortable thing to do. Or
yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Admit that you maybe need some help sort of thing?
Yeah, yeah. It started, I guess, when I hit puberty, that kind of area. So, like, 12 to 14, I definitely started to notice changes in just how I was reacting to food. And then 15 or 16 was when it got really bad, and I fainted in a workout, and I just could not eat food anymore without feeling sick. I was really bloated. I wouldn't be able to go to the bathroom for like 2 weeks, which is really hard to talk about with anyone. But going through all of that, we went to so many doctors, and they thought I was totally normal. It was just growing pains. It was because I was being active, that's why my body hurt, whatever it was. And then we went to a naturopath, and we got a lot of tests done there, like blood tests. I got my iron checked, I got my hemoglobin checked, so many markers I could list off. It's crazy. But it was about from August through to February of really trying to narrow down what was wrong, because the issue with autoimmune diseases is a lot of the symptoms can be the same. So you could have like rheumatoid arthritis, but your symptoms could be similar to someone with something else. So just trying to narrow it down. I also went on a couple of diets. So I did the low FODMAP diet, which is basically you cut out any inflammatory foods and then you slowly start to implement them back and see what you react to, while still training and going to work and going to school and doing all this kind of stuff that like a regular 16, 17, 18 year old should be doing. So that was definitely hard. And then by the time we got like from August through to February, in February I got a biopsy. So they took a sample of my small intestine and they also took some pictures inside. And there's like these little villi in your small intestine that absorb the nutrients that you eat. And because I was eating gluten for so long without knowing, those had been depleted. And any of the food I was eating was just going in and going out. Or if I was eating too much gluten, it would be inflamed and I would eat it and it would just stay there and my body would shut down.
Right.
So from that, then I had to go on a lot of supplements just to get my body back up to proper nutrition levels.
Mm-hmm.
And that took about a year, as well as like a bit of, I don't want to say physio is not the right term, but like in just internal gut healing. And realizing how heavily your gut can impact your overall like daily life and just training and everything. So it was definitely a huge learning curve, but in a lot of ways I think it happened for the better, because now if I go to Tim Hortons I'll only get a hot chocolate or a coffee instead of a hot chocolate with a donut. So right. Yeah, it kind of helps you like lean off the calories in that sense, but also it kind of helped me figure out what I wanted to do in my life, because I had no control over my body for such a long time that's something I really value now. So that kind of comes back to the non-negotiables with like my sleep and that kind of thing. So yeah, that's kind of a more general.
Yeah.
I could go into more detail, but I'll spare you the details.
No, that's fair, but like I think it's probably good for you to, you know, I didn't follow all of it exactly, but I know Ellen Noble, she, I think, almost sounds identical in the sense of knew something was wrong, didn't know what was wrong, struggled to figure out what it was, and now has taken, I don't know, 2-3 years or whatever it is to kind of sort that out and get back on track, I guess, if I call it something.
Yeah, exactly. I don't want to say it was exactly the same as what I went through, because I don't know every detail of your story, but from what I've heard and what we've talked about, it's the exact same. Well, very similar.
Yeah. And I guess this kind of comes back to Paige, both of you, I guess, now racing with people that you have sort of looked up to and whatnot, is it's pretty cool in the racing community, and I think cycling in general, that people who have experience and whatever will pass on to you information. So you're not, as much as you might feel like you're fumbling your way through the dark sometimes, if you ask someone who's maybe just a little bit ahead of you, don't be shy, because there's something to learn. Agree?
For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree.
And because you've done, you've traveled to Europe and
I have, yes.
For racing?
Yeah.
So, yeah. Have you leaned on some of the...
Yeah. When I went to Europe, it was like for Worlds in 2014, and it was like very similar, except we took a plane to like a lot of the Ontario projects that I'd been on before. And I was like, I was in a like apartment with the other junior girls, and we were a little bit separate from everybody else, but they were like always around and super friendly. So like if we had any questions, they could help us out. Like one of the most memorable parts of that trip was when Soren, Maywissa, and I, we were really good friends. Well, we are really good friends. we were pre-riding together, and Emily Batty came and like practice starts with us. And that was like super fun. And she was like, wow, you guys are fast. And I was like, okay, I got this. I can do it.
That's awesome. Yeah.
That's great. So you, again, you've ridden with another Olympian.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah. And Karis, have you sort of stole some advice from some of those ahead of you?
Yeah, Haley and Ellen are definitely my go-tos for advice. I know them personally, but I also look up to them as far as athletics and just they share a lot about their life and the good and the bad, which not a lot of people do, but I respect it a lot. So.
Yeah, I think Haley's been a big advocate for mental health, and I think hopefully more and more that's sort of the norm conversation, and I hope more coaches have that with their younger athletes because it's super important, and it can kill a young person's momentum to want to do something. And you know, I think it's awesome, Paige, you're finding your way back to maybe racing. Not that racing's the be all and end all by any means, but just if you love cycling when you're young, the hope is that you're 80 and still, you know, maybe want to get out on your bike. I think
I agree. Like, I feel like a lot of people put a lot of pressure on like doing things at the elite level, but sometimes they forget that cycling is like a really special sport because you can keep doing it after you stop competing, whereas a lot of other sports, like, when you're done, you're done. Like, there's not like a recreational way to enjoy the sport. So
yeah there's always beer league stuff, but it's never the same with cycling. Like, cycling is just a fun thing, whether it's a club ride, whether it's going to horseshoe, just try some downhill for fun. There's racing for pretty much anything you want. Mm-hmm. But there's nice, like, and then there's events like some of the gravel rides and stuff here. Like, yeah, there's always going to be the guys who, you know, go for the whole shot, yeah, and like they want to blow their brains out for 4 hours. Great. But then there's people who just want to plug along for 8 hours and see what they can do. And I think either one is awesome. It's on two wheels. I'm a fan.
For sure.
Yeah. This is a bit off topic, but are we Zwifters?
No.
I used it once, but I found for the amount that I was going on the trainer, I'd rather just like watch Netflix or watch a YouTube video instead.
I just avoid the trainer now that I'm not training. I'd rather be outside doing something in the winter than riding my bike, so I save that for the warmer months.
100%.
Yeah.
I'm a fan. I will Zwift, although I don't have a road bike anymore, so I don't know how I'm going to do that. But anyways, I'll worry about that later. I have a cross bike, so I'll try and make that work. But just moving. Key?
Yes.
So what's your winter movement? You said downhill skiing?
Yeah, I do a lot of downhill because I work a lot when I'm doing that. But then I also do quite a bit of like snowshoeing because I can do it like right from work. So I can change and like hike up the hill there. And it's really easy to do.
Yeah.
Cross-country skiing and snowshoeing.
Yeah.
For sure. I don't mind fat biking. It's not my favorite. And also, I'd rather just switch it up. Like, you don't get cross-country ski in the summer, so. Well, I guess you could on those roller skis, but it's not really. I wouldn't trust
that. That seems way more dangerous.
Yeah, I would be terrified trying to go down, like, the valley.
Yeah. Like, some of the stuff at Hardwood and some of the other places I've gone, like, I feel like I'm going fast enough on the snow. And then I was trying to picture, like, I don't know, going down, I don't know, 7th Line or whatever, on wheels. And I'm thinking, man,
And just turning, too.
Yeah, it seems crazy.
We did it in high school. Like, my cross-country team in high school did roller skiing in the fall. And it is a little scary. But we just went, like, somewhere flat with really smooth roads. You really, like, really notice the vibrations on those things. And it wasn't too bad. They're like, if you get going too fast, just go for the grass. Anyway, no one died in our group, so that was good. But yeah, I've seen some pretty good like pictures of road rash.
People think road cycling is scary. I would be terrified to do that because most people, like, you're in a tank top and shorts too, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So no body armor to protect you if you fall.
You mentioned you have a cross bike. Have you raced cross?
I did a little bit.
A little bit?
Yeah.
What'd you think of it?
It's hard. I didn't like the running part. Okay. Races without running, I usually did better.
Karis, have you tried it?
I have.
And?
I hate being cold, also it really sucked. I really hate being cold. Again, maybe this kind of ties into celiac, but I'm also anemic, so my iron's really low, which means I'm naturally a cold person. So to do that is like just really uncomfortable. And then you're almost, I feel like your body's so confused because it's minus 20 outside, but inside you're like at the red line. So it's like, hey, it's freezing cold outside, but you got to push hard. Like you're in a race. So it's just, it's confusing. But
you're from the school of Andrew Watson because he loves cross, but only if it's hot.
Yeah, yeah. Like the September cross race at Hardwood was awesome because it was like sandy. I was in like normal bike kit. I wasn't wearing 10 layers up top and 10 layers on the legs. Like it was comfortable, yeah. But I like the skills of it. It's different.
Yeah.
But
and road race, either one of you?
I did a little bit of road racing.
Yeah?
Yeah.
How was that?
It was fun. I did like a couple Ontario races, and I'd just done one race, and Team Ontario needed another girl for Rimouski, which is like a cadet couple days in Rimouski in Quebec, and it was so much fun, especially because I didn't really have a goal, because I was like, I don't really know what this is about, and I just went and rode, and like it was cool, but it's also scary riding with people that don't always have great bike skills.
Well, that's an unknown in the group. Like, mm-hmm. If you go with a group of people you know and trust, that's one thing. But, yeah, watching people who you don't know and are trying to possibly kill you, that's a whole other ball of wax. What about you, Karis? You tried road?
I've done one road race when I was probably 12.
Yeah?
So I don't know if that counts, but...
Sure.
Okay. It was a Tour de Speed out in... Newmarket area.
Okay.
But my strength is definitely in the tech and the downhill and the speed aspect. I am not very good at just going fast. I like to go fast over obstacles or try to go fast over obstacles.
Right.
So that's more my alley.
I saw that across the road at Horseshoe.
Yeah. Yeah,
I've seen that. Is there any goals on the horizon for either one of you, like?
Like related to cycling?
Sure.
No.
No.
Just enjoying it?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good.
I'm really just trying to go into this season with an open mind. Maybe that's not the answer you were looking for, but...
No, that's perfect.
Just again, coming off of that whole autoimmune disease situation and like trying to heal my body to its normal state. I'm not putting pressure on myself to say I want to be top 3 or top 5, but if I come top 10 at a Canada Cup or something, I think I'll be pretty happy.
And I think, great point. I don't know, I'm assuming you've probably looked at the results for the Quebec races that have sort of been happening. I think for everyone, because I think there's been more racing in Quebec than there has been here. I think there's a bunch of people who, it's been a question mark of like, I'm going to go and... There's maybe been some people disappointed. I think there's been some people who have been elated with how well they've done. But I think because there hasn't actually been that, you know, face-to-face competition, there's a bunch of going into it and you don't know. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So open expectations is awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Maybe we'll get wrapped up with our bell lap questions. If you're ready. Karis, we'll go you first.
Oh, gosh.
You alluded to the fact, do you drink coffee at all, Paige?
I do, occasionally.
Okay, how do you take your coffee?
Silk almond creamer, that's it.
Silk almond creamer, is it flavored or just?
Vanilla or hazelnut.
Okay.
Usually black tea with a splash of milk, but if I drink coffee, I don't super love it, so it's like a latte or something with a lot of milk.
Okay,
yeah.
That's fair, I'm a fan of those. Pineapple on pizza?
No, absolutely not.
Sure.
Ugh. Raisins and cookies?
Sure. I'd prefer chocolate chip.
Okay.
As long as it's not like one of those really hard biscuit type cookies. It's gotta still be like a good chewy cookie and then
it's
not like a
okay.
Stone.
Yeah, then I'm for raisins and cookies.
Alright. Max power. Max 15 second power.
Oh god. I really did not prepare for this.
But you don't have to. You could say you don't know. That's cool.
I don't know. Probably somewhere in the 200s, maybe.
No, stop it.
Is that too much? I actually
don't know. You're way higher than that.
Oh wait, sorry, 15 sec. Oh, probably 8 to 9, I think.
Cool.
Yeah, somewhere in there.
We'll test that out later.
I haven't got a clue. My power meter has probably been dead for over a year. So, yeah.
That's awesome. But we need to revive this, and we're going to revisit all this right. with you down the road. clips or flats?
Clips.
Oh, clips.
Yeah. What's your favorite band?
Do you want to give me, like, a time frame or an era?
Like, lifetime. What's your go-to, like... You've had a bad day. What do you put on?
Oh, gosh. Can you go first?
My all-time favorite song is Tiny Dancer by Elton John. So good. Elton
John. Okay. Fair enough.
Oh, gosh. I think I just have to resort to, like, classic rock or something like that.
That's fair.
Yeah.
Do you remember, you're probably both young enough you didn't buy a cassette or vinyl or CD, but do you remember what the first piece of music was you paid for?
Justin Bieber, a CD, like the Believe album.
Okay.
I don't know if I've ever paid for music. Like, my parents paid for music, and then I got like a subscription service.
Okay.
So
Apple Music.
Nice. Yeah. What's the first concert you ever went to?
Blue Man Group.
Okay.
I went to a concert like at Mac once. I don't know. I don't remember. It was just like a random thing my friends were going to.
No, that's cool. You're making pizza, you have only cheese and sauce. Do you continue making it, or do you abort mission? Keeping in mind, yours is gluten-free, obviously.
Yes, gotta be, unless you want to ruin the house. But can you consider that pizza? Like, is that even called pizza?
Like, yeah. Is there actually, like, dough, or is it just
cheese
and sauce?
Yeah, you got dough.
So it's just like a cheese pizza.
It's just cheese
bread. Yeah, sure. I'd go with it.
Yeah?
Yeah.
All right, fair enough. So, last one for you then. Skittles or Mike's and Ike's?
Skittles.
Skittles.
That was not even close. You guys didn't even... All the rest of them you thought about, and that's the one you don't think about? That's awesome. All right, well, thank you very much. I really appreciate your time. And, maybe we can revisit later on this summer and see how everything's going for both of you.
Thanks for having us.
Awesome. Okay, thank you.
Once again, I just really want to thank Paige Foxcroft and Karis Reed. Just awesome women to talk to, wealth of knowledge, even though they're very young women breaking into the world, super wealth of knowledge there, which was great to talk to them. However you found us, I am super grateful that you did. On the socials, we are All Wheels Pod. You can find us on iTunes, Spotify. Once again, folks, just super grateful that you found us. If you'd like to reach out to us, allwheelsrolling@gmail.com. If you have pod suggestions, please get them to us. We'd love to hear from you. Thanks.